again, everybody. This is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer. And I am going to whisper today. Got dang sinuses going on, brother. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
My homeboy, Roger Bauer, social media ninja, SMBconsultingInc.com. Kicking this thing off, he's going to make me speed it up again because his boys are playing some hoops down in Louisville. And that is how
right.
we say it, right? Louisville?
You got it.
Louisville. All
very
right.
good.
Very nice. So are you encroaching on my territory again today and with some definitions?
Oh, I got a definition for sure.
So we turn this into a two-definition intro from now on? Is that what you're telling
me? Yeah, let's do that, because I promised everybody yesterday.
People will start rating and judging. We'll have them do some critiques. Who's got the best jokes?
Yeah, sure, if that's the way you want to roll. No,
all right,
no
well,
harm,
I mean,
no foul.
I mean, you're
promised
up,
everybody yesterday I would give them the Southern definition of seed, and
seed.
That is to perceive with the eyes, look at, to view, visit, or attend as a spectator. This is thanks to my UK, whatever you call it, fine UK fans, or keep educating me. I seed you was watching our game the other night there, weren't you, Wessie?
Golly. You got to go easy on your kinfolk. You know, if you notice, I live in California now, and I pick on people in Alabama. Because they don't know that they can actually drive to California to find me. Right? You're picking on your neighbors.
Well, I'm picking on the opposition is what I'm picking on.
All right. You've got to be careful.
Hey,
so,
I don't make this stuff up. I hear it, and I report the facts, and I embellish a little bit to help people understand the tonality and the mood in which it was said.
Well, you know, my kids are in chemistry, right, and biology, and they're learning about mitochondria and all this fancy stuff. So they were asking me about the difference between atoms and molecules, you know. I said, well, an atom is both a preposition and a noun, but it means in the direction of something or someone. Like two deer jumped out of the woods, and we just started shooting at them. So, my boy, he got an F on that report, but I went in talked to the teacher, told her, you know, I'm not a law-abiding California citizen now. I got me some of them unregistered shooting devices. And she fixed that and gave him an A.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Back where I come from, my boy got it right. You hear me?
Oh, that's right. Because that's what they were doing, shooting at him.
That's right.
Yeah.
At him.
I got some good social media stuff.
Well, you better. That's why
I watched on Social Media Explorer today. No, that's... I'm giving Jason Falls credit. This wasn't on his blog. On Social Media Examiner today, a video with Scott Monty, who heads up the Ford social media campaign. And there was a video on there talking about how they did some tweet-ups. And the executives were interacting live with people at the tweet-up. This wasn't, you know, a bunch of people that were assigned to do social media. They actually had Alan Mulally, the CEO, out there tweeting with people. And they also invited a bunch of bloggers to come check out their automobiles and give honest reviews. They weren't trying to influence them. Obviously, if they're inviting people to a nice event and they treat them really well, chances are they're going to get a nice review out of it. But they invited these bloggers in to give some honest reviews, and he was mentioning how most of them had the reaction, and it's kind of similar to the one I've had lately. I see some commercials on television, or I'll see some videos on a website or a blog or what have you. And my first reaction when I see the car in the video is, oh, that must be a foreign car. It must be a Toyota. It must be a Honda or something like that. And it turns out it's a Ford. So he said that's been the general reaction, is when people come in and see the new line of vehicles, they're shocked to realize that it's really a Ford, and they've changed the interior and They're totally changing the way they create their cars and going for a different appeal to people. But the thing that he shared in there that ties back to social media is he mentioned what we keep talking about, Wes, is develop your strategy first and then tie the tools into the strategy. Most people do it backwards. They fall in love with Twitter or they fall in love with Facebook, and then they try to retrofit that to help market their business, whereas they ought to be doing it the opposite and going out and saying, okay, my target audience is on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Scribd, DocStock, sites like that, and then going to produce content that would appeal to them on those sites. Most people go about it the opposite way. So found that interesting. And he also mentioned that since a lot of these are free, and we've been hammering home that whole, oh, isn't it great it's free, but it does require a lot of your time, which he mentioned in the video too, that it takes time even though the tools are free. And because the tools are free, the tools may disappear. So what if you do if you fall in love with Twitter and tomorrow Twitter is gone? What would you do then? Your whole social media strategy might be out the window. So if you have an overlying social media strategy, then you would be able to adapt and move forward with new tools because you've got the whole strategy. It should include multiple social media sites instead of just relying on one tool that may be gone tomorrow. I mean, I doubt that Twitter's going to be gone tomorrow, but we don't know. I mean, they're not monetizing yet, so who's to say?
Right.
Well, and he also talked.
Getting back to Ford, you know, I saw the other day, they, you know, went from almost bankrupt, like 75 cents a share, and they were up to almost $8 a share.
Yeah.
And that's probably in the last year, roughly, you know. So, not that social media saved them, but it certainly doesn't hurt them, you know, and they're using that as a comprehensive, part of a comprehensive marketing campaign and effort, you know?
Yeah, and he talked about that, too, and he shared a lot of the stuff we've been talking about on our podcast, not to toot our own horn or anything like that, but it's good to hear that people that are doing this at real mammoth-sized corporations that are looked to as the leaders and the experts and pundits, gurus, what have you, are echoing the same things, or we're echoing what they're saying, however you want to look at it. But we're all saying the same things, which is good to know. It's reassurance to us that, hey, you know, we're not just two Southern boys that just cracked onto this Southern social media thing, and we're going to go out and spread our word, but we really don't know what we're talking about. That's not the case if you listen to what these people like Scott Monty said. But he said today that the reason their social media campaigns have been successful is they have full support of senior leadership. Alan Mulally came to them and said, because he doesn't come from the automobile industry. He comes from a totally different industry, which probably helps him in this case because he can look at things from a fresh perspective. Just like Alan Mulally didn't come from the automotive industry. He came from Boeing and the airline industry or jet manufacturing industry. But he said that they came to their senior leadership and said, hey, we need to create a social media position. So he didn't have to go in and try to sell them on the benefits of social media. They already understood and wanted to take advantage of it, and they were one of the pioneers in that because Alan Mulally does do a lot of Twittering and does a lot of interaction with a lot of other social media sites. So he understood that there was something there. Now, at the beginning, they didn't necessarily know, hey, how are we going to monetize this? What are the metrics we're going to do? But then he said they took that from, they already knew their metrics of their other marketing campaigns and their other advertising campaigns. So it was pretty easy to plug social media in. And just like you said, Wes, it should be a tool in your arsenal, not the only tool, or it should not replace something that you're already doing successfully. Now, if you're doing something today, such as maybe you're doing TV ads and they're not generating any ROI, then you may want to look at taking a portion of that budget and putting it towards social media. And that's what he said that Ford has done. But they understood going into it what their approval ratings were and what their percentage of people that would be inclined to purchase a Ford might be before they started a social media campaign. They also understood the breakdown of men versus women buying a Ford and all of those things. So they're able to go out and look at how their social media campaigns are doing because they have a baseline to compare it to. And they're seeing a lot of positive traction in a lot of different areas, and it's because of the Social Media Explorer. He gave an example of they did a Blog Her event, which they invited a lot of women in to look at Fords. And they asked them before they came to the Blog Her event, what is the likelihood that you would consider purchasing a Ford? And he said before the event, it was 25%. Well, they interviewed the same people and asked them that same question after the event and said 98% of them would consider buying a Ford.
Holy cow, when was this?
This wasn't too long ago. This was a few months ago. They did some Blog Her event, and, I mean, you go from 25% to 98%, that's a considerable, it's a substantial jump. Let me do the math, because I like doing these types of things. Being a statistical type of guy. Let's see here.
Well, it's basically
that's 400% three times.
Increase.
Yeah. That is a 292% increase. So that's pretty impressive of people who would consider buying a Ford who before, out of that 25%, I would imagine if they knew they were going to a Ford event, some of them probably didn't tell the truth because they thought, well, hey, I'm getting ready to go to a Ford event. I don't want to tell them I would never consider buying a Ford. But I'm sure there were some people in that camp that, hey, I'm getting ready to go to this event. I might as well tell them what they want to hear since, you know, they're probably going to feed me and they're probably going to, you know, give me some refreshments and treat me real nice. I don't want to go into it with a negative perception or whatever. So take it for what it's worth. But 98% afterwards said that they would consider it. So that's pretty impressive.
That's pretty cool.
And they also asked him how they developed their metrics. And he said they have metrics for each program. Like, for instance, they've got metrics for Taurus, the Taurus line. They've got metrics for the Focus line. And I think we shared it on the podcast a couple weeks ago that they were starting to do a new Focus social media campaign because the Taurus campaign has been very successful. So that's how they measure their social media effectiveness is they break it down into each individual program, as they call it, or probably a model line. But I'm sure within the Taurus line, they're going to have their SHO line and then the regular Taurus line. They're probably going to break it down quite a few different ways to see, okay, what's really working and what isn't. And they can test different things because they're doing this and they're breaking everything down to a granular level to where they can say, okay, we tried to use Twitter to push the Focus hybrid. Well, okay,
right.
Well, that didn't work too well, but when we did a tweet up for the Taurus, we know that was very successful, so let's try that with the Focus hybrid so they can take it and expand it out that way. So Ford's doing some really cool things, and I've said it before on the podcast that I think Alan Mulally deserves a ton of credit for digging them out of the doldrums. They went through some tough times, and Wesh even mentioned that they are the one that did not accept the bailout money. So,
right,
they've stuck to their strategy, they've stuck to their guns, and it's starting to pay off. And it's really cool to see. I'm one of those people who wouldn't have considered purchasing a Ford before, but I do like that new Taurus SHO. That's a cool looking ride, and you get your V8 power, but yet you get V6. Fuel economy, so that's a pretty cool thing there.
Well, that's all right, brother.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty interesting video. If you get a chance, to the listeners out there, if you do get a chance, go check out Social Media Examiner today, which is November the 4th, and check out that video. It's pretty informative, but it's also really cool to see what they're doing.
Right. It's all right. I'm checking out my LinkedIn group, growing nicely, 1,230 members. Let me see here. 26 requests to join. Can't just jump right in, brother. Got to prove yourself. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
You heard?
heard you.
All
well, here's another one that's interesting. Social media, this is on social media today, and it's social media success in one step, education. That's right. Nick O'Neill. And he's taken a graphic from eMarketer that talks about actions brands can take that are most relevant to U.S. Internet users. And this was measured from August to September of 2009. And it's on a scale of 1 to 5. Number 1 is offer discounts. We've been talking about how even if you don't have a website to capture leads or whatever, let's say you run a retail chain or a retail store, you can still offer people discounts that are specific to social media. And Wes, you mentioned people can use the term social media when they come in, or if it's you're just offering things through Facebook, Facebook could be the keyword. So you can still track these discounts and have a discount code in your computer or your point of sale system that tracks this so you can see how well your social media campaign is doing. Number 2 is provide with relevant news and analysis. We see a lot of that through, hell, we see that on Twitter. I mean, you've got a lot of conversations going on real time that you can tap into and see what's going on in the world. You can also see what's going on in your little local area, your region, what have you. You can set up little searches within Hootsuite or TweetDeck or whatever your tool of choice happens to be.
Right.
You can see what's going on there, what the conversations are about, and you can learn from this.
Right.
Next one is provide new ideas and thinking. We've talked about thought leaders within different industries and how you want to try to tap into these people. What are they talking about? What are the trends? How can you get involved in the conversation with these thought leaders so that way people see you having a conversation with the thought leader and they start to perceive you as a thought leader as well because you're interacting with this person? That's something else you can do with social media. And some of the other ones that are on here, provide free downloads to content, and they put an example of music or film. I would take that a step further and say if you've got a free report, that's something that you can offer to people. It's free, so people love free.
Right.
It doesn't cost too much, at least it shouldn't. If it does, then people got some serious problems if free is too much.
Well, but you know what? You want to talk on that a little bit about writing a report or something? So many people are like, who am I? I'm not qualified to write a report.
Sure you are. Anybody's qualified to write a report. If you've got unique knowledge or unique skills or insider access to something, or even if it's something as simple as you're a sales rep that works for a telecommunications company and you sell PBX equipment. I can talk about this because I used to do it. There are certain questions you're going to get on a regular, consistent basis. That can be a report. You can take the 10 most frequently asked questions and turn that into, or the 25 most frequently asked questions, turn that into a report, call it the 25 things you must know before you purchase your next phone system. You can talk about that. I mean, if you're in sales, you should know the products inside and out. You should know the answers to these frequently asked questions. That's one of the easiest reports you can do. You can also do a special report on, like let's take the PBX system, for instance. You could do something as simple as comparing traditional PBX systems with voice over IP systems with hybrid systems, where you're going to mix some voice over IP with the traditional PBX telephone type systems and the time division multiplex and all that, TDM circuits. I don't want to get too technical, but that is something that you could do. You can compare three different options that people have. That's another report that you could produce. And people say that to me all the time too, Wes, is, you know, well, I'm not a good writer. Okay, fine. Can you pick up a microphone? Can you talk into one of those portable voice recorders? If you can do that, if you're comfortable walking around the house or walking around your office or wherever, or even better yet, write down the questions that you want to answer. Have somebody interview you. It's very simple. You can go to a coffee shop. Both of you can put on a microphone and talk into one of these voice recorders or talk into your computer. It's very easy. You can then take that recording, send it off to something like eScriptionist or find some third-party service to transcribe it. Then you have your report or ebook or whatever it is. So you really don't even have to be a good writer. That's another thing. Or I don't type fast. That's another objection I get. Well, you know, can you talk into a microphone? If you can do that, that's something you could do. Or if you're one of those types, it's
you
a
and
natural.
I, yeah, you and ahead. I, good, we're good speakers. We can talk right into it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're one of those ham types that likes to get in front of a video camera, that's another thing you can do. If you want to get on there and talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about with your audience, or let's say you're a super funny person and you want to do a couple skits to make people laugh, well, that's something yep. else you could do. You could that could turn that into a lead magnet or whatever, but you could also, back to the developing a report or something free to give away to people, that should not be a deterrent if you're not a good writer or you don't type very fast or you're not comfortable speaking in front of the camera. Okay, fine, pick up a voice recorder. Or, you know, I don't do well in front of a large public group. Well, fine. Take it offline to where it's just you and your computer. You can do it that way just as easily. So,
right.
The free report or the free lead magnet, as we call it, should not be a deterrent to people. Or if you don't think you're an expert, then I would suggest that you overcome that hurdle internally because everybody's an expert on something.
Right.
Even if it is how to talk like a UK fan.
I see that was coming.
Oh, you seed it, baby. You knew'd it was coming. Oh, I let another one out of the bag. I wasn't supposed to let nude out yet.
Here comes Mama Wes eating some Pringles.
Uh-oh.
Came in to give me some nutrients, get me over this cold. How you like that? Keep me strong for all of our listeners.
Yeah, give you like strength.
We don't want Big Daddy West sick.
That's
got
right.
To get better. You don't want
well,
me
a couple
doing
other,
this podcast from my bed in my pajamas.
A couple of these other things on this e-marketer chart include create videos or TV shows, create an online community, create live events where I can use the product. We just talked about Ford doing this with bloggers and having their tweet up to where people can come out and look at some of the new cars. Well, there's a live event that they created to let people. It was an impromptu type thing. It's not like they went out. Tweet ups are very rarely big fancy events. It's just like, hey, I'm going to be at this particular location. Anybody want to meet up? That's a tweet up. So you can do this very impromptu, very quickly, get some people to come out, and then let's say you have a new product you want to have them test out or let them test out. That's a great way to do it.
Right.
Also, let's see here. Create live events. We've talked about that. Create competitions. This is something else that you can do with social media that's pretty cool. You can create some sort of competition. You see a lot of sometimes companies do this, but I see a lot of the gurus do it, is they have a product that they are getting ready to introduce. It's a high-dollar product, and they may have something as simple as whoever poses the most difficult question when we do our teleseminar or webinar will get a free copy of the product. Well, that's a competition of sorts. Or
right.
Maybe you might have submit your best video of you using the product or the product being shown live and being used. Well, that could be a competition too. You see a lot of these people do this with send in your funniest home videos. Well, that could be another competition. So there's a lot of things that you can do with social media that'll help you engage your target audience, your customers, and get them involved and identify and build a stronger bond with your company, your products, and your services. And it's so easy to do that people need to be taking advantage of this stuff.
Right.
And the last one on here is, well, the last two, next to last, is sponsor my favorite sports team. And the last one is associate with celebrities that I like. I would transition that into associate with thought leaders so that way you can borrow some of their credibility. Wes, you mentioned earlier that some people say, well, they're not necessarily an expert in their field. Fine, go out and associate with people that are recognized as experts in your field. Ask to interview them. people are very flattered when you call and ask them, hey, I would like to interview you for whatever it might be. It might be something as simple as I have an ongoing podcast that I do, and I think that you could contribute a lot of valuable content to my listeners. Most people are going to say, gee, I'd be flattered. Sure. When can we do it? And that's one of the easiest ways that you can borrow credibility from somebody that is recognized as an expert and get your thoughts out there, get them documented, get them recorded, and then that way you have a history to fall back on and say, well, hey, I interviewed, let's say we talked with Scott Monty on our podcast. Well, hey, we talked to Scott Monty the other day, who's social media president of Ford. So that would give us credibility if we were to go interview him about the whole social media thing.
Right. I hear you, brother.
Yeah. And there's another post just below that one from Harry Hoover on social media today, and it is social media confuses businesses. And he's got dot, 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 and then why, question mark. Well, he starts off with by saying that small businesses may not clearly understand how social media can help them, nor do they know how to measure the impact of social networks. And, Wes, right. We've been hammering this for weeks and months even, because we hammered this home in the live event we did out in Murrieta to the small business owners out there, and there was a lot of confusion amongst that group. And I think a lot of it ties directly into this stuff is, how can it help my business? And number two, how can I measure the impact of social networks? And we've been telling people repeatedly that you should be measuring your metrics now for your current advertising and marketing campaigns. And just like we gave the example at the beginning of how Ford plugs in different social media tools to help them with their advertising and marketing campaigns and help supplement them, they are able to monitor them because they know their baseline metrics before they even plug in the social media tool of choice. So I think that's a key takeaway that we can learn from big corporations such as Ford, is how are they measuring it? And the people who argue that it can't be measured, well, then how is Ford measuring things such as women stating that they were 25%, only 25% would consider purchasing a Ford versus 98% after they went to this event? I mean, how are they tracking that stuff?
Well, you can track it when you know what you want to track, right?
Right.
You put the tools in play, because social media really boils down to two things. Its purpose is either to help you network, okay, or in the SEO world, it's for link building.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the two don't really go together. You know, so once somebody knows, so like Ford, everybody knows who Ford is already. You know, they're doing more of networking.
Right.
So when you say, okay, it's like, I mean, like driving. You know, you're either going left or you're going right. You know, and, I mean, you know, or you're going to the beach or you're going skiing, you know, snow skiing. You need different gear, whether you're going to the beach or you're going snow skiing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's real easy to snow ski when you have skis. You know, when you have a big, thick jacket, when you got your gloves and your poles and your boots and your lift pass, you can then measure all that. You know, but too many people are just, they're doing a little bit of everything.
Right.
You know, and so you really got to boil it down to its essence. What are you ultimately trying to do? How can you benefit, and then implement tools to either build your networking or your link building, and then measure those results. You know?
Yeah, he also mentioned something else, going back to the whole Ford example, that when he took the position of social media advocate, or I don't even know what his official title is, chief social media officer, who knows, I don't really think he thinks it's that important for the title, but he only associated the little blue emblem with Ford. He didn't really have human beings to associate it with, but now he's noticing that a lot of people are connecting with the people. And Ford started out as a people business. I mean, that's how they built their whole reputation and everything else. So they're kind of getting back to their roots, more or less, even though we're sitting here in 2009, 2010, in a totally different marketplace than when Ford originally came onto the scene, but yet the same principles apply. It's a relationship business, connecting people with people, putting a face to the brand, putting a face to the metal and the little emblem that you see on there. And when people can see that there are real people behind a company, behind a big, large manufacturing firm, then they start to connect with that brand. And I can use that as an example because I have a Ford plant a mile and a half from my house. It's one of their Explorer plants, and they're going to start building some of the hybrid. They're going to retrofit the plant to do some of the hybrid stuff. But, I mean, I know a lot of those guys.
Right.
And that, you know, you go drink beer with them, you hang out with them, you become friends with them. That goes a long way to where when somebody starts to trash Ford, I'm usually pretty quick to defend them and be like, hey, you know, they're not bad people. I partied with a lot of those people. It's, you know, it's just, that doesn't make them good people because they party, but, you know, it's one of those deals that you feel like you know a part of the company. You feel like you're friends with the company because you know a lot of the people, whereas a lot of the products we buy, we don't know a lot of the people that are behind those products.
So are you a Ford driver? You own a Ford?
I do not own a Ford.
Wow.
I know you are.
I got me one.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier in the call, I mean, I've usually had foreign cars for the most part, but I would consider purchasing a Ford now. And there's even, I told my dad earlier, and I'm usually one of the biggest negative people about General Motors and in particular Buick. But that new Buick they put out, I'm drawing a blank on what the name of it is. That's a sharp-looking ride.
Yeah, well.
I told him, I said, you know, they're starting to turn the corner too. I mean, we've forced the big three automotive manufacturing firms to look deep within themselves to produce a better product and a product that is more appealing to us.
Hey, here's the Buick website. Oh, just lost it. Getting off, brother. Put you on speaker.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, baby.
But I think even something like that,
the LaCrosse,
they're trying to appeal to more of a younger audience.
Right.
And I think that they're
LaCrosse looks good.
Yeah, that's a good looking ride, and that's I told my dad, I said I'm. What's that?
It looks like a Lexus.
Yeah, it does. And I got behind one in a drive-thru the other day, and I'm like, what the heck is that? And I saw the little feather logo on there. I'm like, that's a Buick. There's no way. But, I mean, that just goes to show that when you do listen in on the conversation, and I'm not saying social media is responsible for their resurrection either, but it has played a part because GM's been diving into the social media quite a bit. Ford has been at the forefront, and you see Ford's cranking out some really nice products, and they're starting to really become profitable again, and it's a lot of it's because they're listening to the conversation.
Got a heads-up display like a Beamer, adaptive articulating headlamp, 6-speed transmission, heated steering wheel, Bluetooth for the phone, all-wheel drive, man. Adaptive real-time suspension. Nice blue ambient lighting. I'm going to have to look up ambient on these fancy words. I mean, I was about to buy one until they threw that in there.
Well, you know, that might be tomorrow's word. You never know.
Man. Starting at $27,000.
That's not bad. It's a nice-looking ride.
I have to go check that bad boy out.
Yeah.
It looks just like a Lexus, dude. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it does. I mean, from behind, that's what I thought it was. I'm like, oh, which model is that? And I'm like, Buick. There's no way.
Buick.
But I had to eat a little crow with my dad because he said I was being unjustly harsh on Buick because they owned Buicks when I was a kid growing up, and I always hated those cars and always caused problems or whatever. That's yesteryear.
They have 3,996 fans for Buick. Somebody throws up there, Buick, are you listening? And it's got something from Motor Trend. What are they talking about here? Whoa, what is that car? Type of wagon, hot rod wagon, Opel unleashes. Opel OPC Sports. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah, they're listening. And then, look, they've got their multiple pages, GMC, GM, and OnStar. And so they're favoriting those pages to cross-reference. But pretty good. They got 19 fan photos. There's some interaction here. They got 10 past events that they're showing. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's doing it right.
Here's the last topic, and this is Amber Nashland on social media today has an article entitled "Where Measurement Falls Short," and she's talking about there's so many discussions swirling around social media measurement these days, and the discussion she's had at recent conferences reinforced the fact that as a whole, measurement of communications is incomplete at best. We're not satisfied with what's available to us in terms of proving the value of what we're doing. And then she asked, can we measure the elements of social media impact, reach, and yield? She says yes, but there are a lot of new metrics, new and old, that contribute to building cases for attribution of purchase influence, customer and transaction values, and the like. And Wes, I think we've talked about this before. Most of everything you do online can be tracked in some way or another. Now, you might have to pay for the tracking device. You may have to outsource the tracking to some other third-party firm, whatever it may happen to be. But a lot of this stuff you can track. And it's just, gave the example of Ford at the beginning, that they were able to determine that they're influencing purchase behaviors and also likely purchase perceptions. That, you know, would you consider buying a Ford, where 25% of the women said no, or only 25% said yes, so that means 75% said no. Then afterwards, 98% said they would. I mean, that's, you know, you can measure that stuff. And, yeah, some of it is a little bit of a grab sometimes or a reach that, oh, we're going to measure this our recall. How many people can recall our brand? Well, imagine if you called somebody up and said, have you ever heard of Ford? If you don't get 100% response, then somebody's just not paying attention, or they're not plugged into the real world at all. I mean, almost everybody's heard of Ford. But there's products, services, other brands out there that we haven't heard of that you can begin to get into the mindset and get some of that mind awareness for companies and brands and products that you may have never heard of. I mean, just like I've given the example before, Wes, that I wouldn't have known you existed if it weren't for social media. You probably wouldn't have known that I existed if it weren't for social media and some of the connections we've made. So can you put a specific metric on that? I guess you could. Is it really important to put a metric on that? I mean, we're partnering on different products. We're helping to promote each other's services. We're doing the podcast. I mean, we're doing a lot of things together. But there may not be a specific metric to say, oh, okay, Wes and Roger are really successful at this social media stuff because they've blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know if there's a metric that we can put on it right now. I mean, eventually that metric's going to be a dollar sign, but...
You got to realize, unless you're training and teaching social media, the purpose of social media is to send somebody back to your website,
right?
Or to call, or to call your company or come in and sell something.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can measure things. I'm measuring right now through PodPress, the plugin on my site, how many downloads of our podcast are happening.
Right.
And I see it go up every day. I'm using the Bitly service. Every time I send out some type of announcement, I can see every single link, how many are getting clicked on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I can correlate that back with how many are calling me, how many are coming to my different workshops, how many of those are becoming clients. You know, because most of the business that I get I generate through live events. So you can track all this, but there's, you know, it's work, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a lot of people get misled because you brought it up, Wes, that, oh, it's free, so it must be easy. That doesn't necessarily mean it's just because something's free doesn't mean it's easy. I mean, or that it doesn't have a monetary value. I mean, a lot of the free reports we send out and give to people for giving us their contact information and the permission to follow up with them, those weren't free to create. I mean, they took a lot of our time, a lot of our resources. We had to research a lot of the material, had to make sure that our grammar wasn't using any UK grammar or Kentucky fan grammar. And, you know, you gotta make sure that all this stuff ties together, it makes sense, it's helpful, it contributes value on down the line. And if we were going to put a monetary value on it, we could probably sell the e-books or these podcasts or whatever for anywhere from $7 all the way up to, you know, $1,000. Who knows? I mean, you take the summation of all the information that you could get, it adds up to a lot of value. Same thing with the time that we put in on social media. If our time's worth $100 an hour, consider what we put into it every single day. It isn't free. I mean, we're not paying for the use of the service necessarily or the social media vehicle, but we are paying with our time and we're paying with our attention.
Right.
That's something else I think people overlook is a lot of these social media sites have ads on them. That's how they make their money. I mean, somebody's got to be clicking these ads so these social media sites can stay afloat. Just like Scott Monty said, yeah, it's free. Some of them haven't figured out the monetization model yet. So some of these tools may disappear tomorrow. You just don't know. I mean, you might wake up tomorrow and Twitter may be gone. Who knows? I don't think it's going to happen, but who's to say? I mean, who's to say a year from now, 2 years from now? I mean, who knows where this stuff is going? I mean, yet there's no way that they can keep the free model going forever. I mean, people aren't just going to keep dumping money into something because it's fun.
Right.
Or because they think there's potential to make money. That eventually somebody's going to have to pay the tab, and that's the same thing with the stuff we do, Wes. I mean, it's free to access and sign up and all that, but eventually you're going to pay in one way or another.
Right. Well, is it time for your Kentucky boys to come on?
Actually, I think they might be on already. I think we start at 7:30.
You're going to watch them over the Yankees?
Oh, yeah. You give me a choice of Yankees or UofL basketball, that's a no contest.
All right. Who are they playing tonight?
Tonight they are playing Bellarmine University, a little private university, a nice little school here that's a local school. One of the assistants that used to work for Rick Pitino, Scotty Davenport, also worked for Denny Crum, and used to coach at my alma mater, Ballard High School here in Louisville, is the coach of Bellarmine. Super guy, and it's doing a lot of good stuff with Bellarmine. They're a Division II school, and they're preseason number one this year. So Scotty's doing a really good job, so we'll see how it goes. Syracuse got beat by a Division II school last night, so you never know.
Dang. All right. Well, man, we've been talking a while for a talk we weren't going to do long.
Yeah. Lots of good stuff to talk about. Hopefully people are getting value out of this.
All right.
Well, as we always do, if you haven't gotten in on our social media webinar from a couple weeks back, go to marketingvirtualseminar.com. That is marketingvirtualseminar, all one word, .com, and you can get in on that. Just share your first name, email address. You'll get instant access. You can listen in on it's about an hour long. Share a lot of good stuff on how you can take advantage of social media for your business. And Wes has a 20.1 Facebook tips that you can get.
Well,
and how do you get
not only that, hot off the presses, baby. You know what I just released today.
That's right. Tell them about it.
Tell them, brother, Social Media Mondays. Just go check out the saleswhisperer.com. Right there in the nav bar, Social Media Mondays. 47 whopping dollars a month. Weekly calls, baby. We're going to record them every time. You can download them. Listen to it at your leisure. If you miss it or if you just miss a point we cover. And a couple other bonuses. By your second month, when you renew for a second month, so we're looking for folks really committed, right? They stick around for a whole 30 days. you will be eligible to, excuse me, to get interviewed here on the Southern Social Media Podcast. Give a shout out to your folks, help you grow your business. We'll even show you the pointers, the ins and outs on how to create your own podcast, where to host it, how to embed it, how to get it approved with iTunes. So, and then what I'm offering is that anyone that's a member of the Social Media Monday calls, as long as you're a dues-paying active member, you'll have access to enroll in any other program I come out with for half price. So, you know, I do some one-day workshops for $500 or more. So paying a measly $47 could save you a good chunk of money, not to mention make you some money. So check it out on the nav bar there, Social Media Mondays. Go ahead and enroll before I change my mind. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
You hear me?
I heard you.
All right.
Well, one more plug. I'll put in a plug for a product, too. If you want to learn how to utilize Twitter to its fullest potential for your business, just go to TwitterTrafficTornado.com. You can get in on that. A little $27 product. Got 13 videos, 7 bonuses. I mean, $27 is dirt cheap for everything you're going to get in that. And the videos aren't your little garden variety 2-minute videos to where I show you, here's my Twitter account, now click on this to follow me. I'm actually going into some detail on what you can do to find relevant followers, how you can take advantage of different conversations, how you can use some different tools to make yourself more efficient as you use Twitter. So TwitterTrafficTornado.com. Check it out. Get involved. See you on the inside.
Make it happen.
That's right.
So, all right. You ready, brother?
I'm ready.
So Bubba walks in his local post office, right? He noticed a sign on the wall, and it said, "Man wanted for robbery in Montana." And old Bubba said, "Dang it. If only that job was in Texas, I'd be taking it." You like that?
Yeah, that's not bad.
There you go. That's right.
That's right. I was going to do nude tomorrow, but I kind of let the cat out of the bag, so I may not have a definition tomorrow. I'll have to see if there's any... If there's any call-in fodder tomorrow that I hear on the local radio show that I can take advantage of, then I will definitely do that and pass it along.
All right. Make it happen.
All right.
Throw it up there, brother. Get the word out.
Yep.
Good luck to the Kentucky boys tonight.
Louisville boys. Don't mix us
Louisville
up.
Louisville boys.
We're red,
Louisville.
They're blue. That's right.
All right. Well, can't be having that.
That's right.
All right. Well, here's Matt. Matt, we're going to hang out.
Cool.
This is
Wes. All right, everybody. We will chat at you tomorrow. This is Roger Bauer, Social Media Ninja, and my good buddy Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, signing off on another Southern Social Media Podcast. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Bye.
See ya.